Next, we are coming ready for his presentation.
Thanks, Jin Yi. Aloha. Good afternoon, folks. Great to be indoors on a day like this. Not really. Yesterday, about this time, I was sitting with my toes in the water, another part of me in the sand. It was pretty nice right here. But now you guys are stuck listening to a story on blueberries and how water moves out of blueberries. It's kind of an interesting story, I guess, in my mind, because I like physical mechanisms, and so I'll let you in on what we did down in Chile. It's nice to know there are a couple of other Chileans here in the audience. Blueberries, you may or may not know, don't ever form an abscission zone, not a true abscission zone. So when you pull a blueberry from the plant, you rip it from the plant, so you have a nice wet stem scar, all right? So that makes a nice opportunity for mold growth, but it's also a nice route for the loss of water vapor or water from the surface of the fruit. But of course, there's another route of water loss from the surface of the fruit, and that is the surface of the fruit or the cuticle or the skin of the fruit. So anyone that's looked at blueberries or pulled them out of a local Meijer store, you'll see this kind of an effect, right, that they sit around long enough, they begin to pucker, typically around the stem scar. And so this is one of the major mechanisms, I guess, of quality loss for blueberries. The first is weight loss. So any loss in weight of the product is a loss in productivity for the company that's selling the blueberries. And then the other is this loss in appearance and quality. Excuse me. But I will also say that associated with this moisture loss is the softening of the fruit. So you get kind of a hit on two different fronts, appearance as well as texture. So what we wanted to know was how much water loss is due to cuticle and how much is due to the stem scar, basically to try to sort of separate out those two effects, and then determine how much variation there is per surface area of the cuticle. So the gal I was working with, Claudia Moya, is interested in the chemistry of the cuticle, but the first thing we had to do was find out if there were differences from one berry cultivar or one berry line to another. So then we could start to characterize whether a particular chemical is responsible for affecting moisture loss. And then finally, what is the dependence of moisture loss in the surface area of the stem scar itself? So looking at this little guy right here. Excuse me. So this is a germplasm field in Chile's Claudia Moya. This field was planted by Jorge Redamales and Gustavo Lobos. So back in 2015, I had a short-term Fulbright to go down there and do some work. We decided to take advantage of this germplasm repository there and do some work on moisture loss. So we collected berry fruit from these individual lines. We had, I think, about 100-some-odd lines, and we characterized each one for the size of the stem scar. So what we wanted to find was a family that had a wide range in stem scar sizes, so from small to large. And so that we might have some families that have typically large stem scars, but you can still find that range within a particular family. Oops. So this is kind of what we found out there, and it's amazing, actually, the sort of variation that you might find. You'll have some stem scars that are rather small and invaginated, and some that are quite large, big, open, wet areas like this. Of course, this would never be acceptable commercially. But this is the kind of variation that we were finding out there in the orchard, in the plantation. So then we selected three families. They were half-sib families, so they all had the same. One parent was the same in all three of these, and then they were crossed with something else. And then within those, each we took three lines, one that had large stem scars, one that had medium stem scars, and one that had small stem scars. And so this would be one plant, this would be another plant, this would be another plant within those families. And so then we did that three times. Measured the stem scar diameter and the diameter of each fruit. That's every one of the fruits. And then we also, we doubled it, and the only way I know to try to figure out how much moisture loss is coming out through the stem scar is to occlude the stem scar. So we picked a nice pink nail polish because it turned out to be Claudia's favorite color, and we occluded, and it was also easy to see against the blueberry background. And we took half the berries and we blocked the stem scar. So now if we measure the rate of weight loss from this berry and then the weight loss from this berry, let's say with a given stem scar size, we could determine how much of it was moisture loss was due to the stem scar itself. So this is her team working in the laboratory, and we were joined occasionally by Gustavo Lobos. This is more typical of what he would do in a laboratory situation, but he was actually responsible for, like I say, setting up the berries. So this is a typical sort of platform that we had. So here are the berries that had been selected. We had 10 from each one of our lines, I guess, and so two different replicates is the way they were sort of set out. There's a lot more work that was done that I won't talk about. We had different maturities. We had different humidities and things like that, but I'll keep it simple here. So then we had, this would be one replicate, so then we would follow or track the weight loss from each one of these berries. We did it at high temperature and low temperature, but we did it over a period of days. And so then we would develop a regression for the rate of weight loss. And it's really interesting. The linearity is incredible. We had about 4 nines on average in terms of the weight loss per day, so it's just a very uniform step day after day after day. And then, like I say, we would weigh the berries every day at some point in the day and then record that data. So the measures that we use, just simple measures, rate of weight loss, water mass per unit time per berry, and then permeance. So we calculated the rate of moisture loss, so this rate of water loss here, as a function of the surface area. And we did that for the berry, and we did that for the stem scar. Okay. So this is some of the simple data here that are easy to interpret. So this is just the effect of stem scar sealing. So if you seal a stem scar, not that that would ever be a commercial thing that someone might do, but it does have a marked impact on firmness and weight loss, water loss, and shrivel. So in every case, basically, for these three different families that we had, if we provided some kind of a sealing to it, we got a difference in the shrivel, difference in shrivel, difference in shrivel down here. We didn't always get a difference in the firmness, but we did on the members within a family. There's just too much variation from family to family. And then weight loss was different here as well. And then finally, stem scar size on moisture loss. So here are the three different families. There was a difference, an effect of family on moisture loss from the stem scar and via the cuticle as well, and differences in the stem scar sizes within these families, small, medium, and large. So basically, the medium and large had a much higher rate of moisture loss, and then differences in the rate of cuticle for these large stem scar size. But that's just a characterization of those populations. This is what the data looked like, okay? So these are all our data points. So this group up here are the group that are non-sealed, so we did not seal the stem scar of these fellows, and these guys we did seal the stem scar for. So here's fruit surface area. So what you see here is that if you have the fruit, if you do not seal the stem scar, you have this large shift in fruit surface area, but when you seal that stem scar, that effect of fruit surface area goes away. So what this is really telling us is that the stem scar is getting larger with larger fruits. Hopefully that makes sense. Larger fruit, larger stem scar, more moisture loss. And when you seal that stem scar, there was no effect of fruit surface area on the rate of moisture loss, which is kind of interesting. So what it tells us is the larger berries have a thicker cuticle, less moisture loss through them. Kind of interesting. But what's also interesting is that from line to line, there's 100% variation from one line to the next. So this is an opportunity, I think. I don't know that anyone has ever tried to select for low moisture loss blueberry cultivars, but there's a lot of potential here. So this is a great phenotype. I've not seen it kind of characterized this way, but you could certainly go back out and sort of try to break this out and find out what factors were impacting it. So this high rate of moisture loss. So the cuticle has a tremendous effect, or can have a tremendous effect, on the rate of moisture loss. And then this is the effect of the stem scar broken out here. So these fruit here were sealed, and these fruit were not sealed. And basically, you can see that as the stem scar area increased, the rate of moisture loss increased. So we kind of decided to rework this a little bit. This is not a surprise, of course. We reworked this a little bit. And you would think that as the stem scar increased in volume, that kind of the permeance, if the permeance might stay the same, I guess is what I would say, that it would be constant. So basically a large stem scar, if it was twice the size, would lose twice the moisture, right? Kind of what I would think. Turns out that is exactly wrong, and the opposite is true. So what happens actually is as the stem scar gets smaller, the impact of that stem scar on moisture loss, relatively speaking, increases. So a small stem scar, let's suppose it's a stem scar so big, a small stem scar releases a lot of moisture. And you double or triple or quadruple it, you might increase the moisture loss 30% or 40%, but you're not going to double it or triple it or quadruple it. Okay, so it's the idea of a point source. And what was also interesting is that we had, so these were, there are 9 populations that were evaluated here. We have 8 of them here and 1 sitting down here all by itself, a very distinct sort of phenotype. Well, what is the rationale for this? How is it that we have a higher rate of moisture loss on a per surface area for a smaller diameter pore? Well, this had actually been worked out back in 1900. I love this kind of stuff when you go back in the literature and have to hunt something down. And basically, it's the same sort of phenomena that you have with stomata on a surface area, on the surface of a leaf. And that is that a very small pore has very large access to diffusion paths. So if you think of this as a small pore on the surface, The diffusion paths aren't vertical like this. The diffusion paths actually run horizontal to the surface of the leaf. So those molecules, those water molecules that are sitting in that pore can go this way as well as that way. And that's why a very small pore can have very large rates of water loss and a very high apparent permeance. So it's kind of a neat sort of finding. So when you take the data and then rearrange it ever so slightly, and this is what we've done here, we kind of linearize the data a little bit for you. So we have stem scar diameter down here, rate of water loss from the stem scar down here, up here. And then we just took the slope of this line here. So the slope of that line, 0.1162, in this case, micrograms per second per millimeter. Does that make sense? Micrograms per second per millimeter. That's the slope of this. And this one is much different, 0.292. So basically, this is roughly a 75% reduction in the effect of that stem scar, the stem scar pore size. Much lower rate of diffusion or moisture loss from this family versus these over here. What the heck is going on? A hole is a hole, right? Not so. So what is actually happening and what we believe is happening is that you've got a different sort of diffusion taking place. So in many of the blueberries, there's not much in the way of an invagination at the point of the stem scar where it's torn from the plant. And in that case, you have this free diffusion taking place from the pore. But in some cases, very likely what you have is either the vascular tissue tearing deep down inside of the berry itself so that the water molecules have to have diffusion up through some channel before they have access to that pore. It's a very different diffusion mechanism, and as a result, moisture loss from this system here would be about 1/5, something like that, of the moisture loss from this system here. So that's kind of what's going on in the blueberries. Once again, here's a structural mechanism that could be selected for, and as far as I know, never has been for blueberry fruit. So the difference in a blueberry might look something like this, this sort of thing here where you have a deep invagination and a very small stem scar, and then a larger stem scar, something like this, which would be typical of most of the cultivars of blueberries that we grow. So to conclude, pretty variable nature of water loss through the stem scar and through the cuticle. And I can really see in the future, should somebody decide to make this important in their breeding program, that you could have improvements in the cuticle, improvements in stem scar size selection, and then finally improvements in the stem scar structure. So those would be the three criteria that I would use to try to minimize moisture loss when you're shipping blueberries from South America to all places in the world. Thank you. How about that? Yeah, any questions? Yeah, I suppose when you say callus, you're talking about the dead tissue that forms in there? No, we didn't look at that. No, this was kind of a... Actually, you know, it's interesting. Like I said, it was a very linear process. So over 5 days at room temperature, if you understand me. So at 5 days at room temperature, we did, I think, 2 weeks at 0 degrees Celsius. And there's plenty of time during that time period to have some callus formation taking place, some drying of that that stem scar. But at the same time, we saw no shift in the rate of moisture loss. So I guess maybe that's what we were seeing. Now, like I say, we also reproduced this at different humidities and some other things and basically got the same kind of results each time. I don't know if that helps, but feel free to ask more questions. Yeah, Liz? No, no stomates. So that's why, yeah, if I were to... That's it. They only have two routes, yeah. And it doesn't seem to be a difference between, you know, the calyx end where it's blocked over there. Don't seem to be any pores in the calyx end. We actually did some work where we blocked it with nail polish and had no impact on it. You could block it anywhere on the surface, and as long as the surface area was the same, it had the same effect. Yeah. Off bubble. We tried to do a little bit of that, so we cut each variety in half, but our imagery wasn't good enough to actually kind of get to that. But I think that would be a nice next step. It'd be nice to see that sort of thing done. Yeah, so the question is whether or not the moisture loss on a when the fruit is still on the bush, whether it's through the stem scar or through the cuticle, and I don't have an answer for that. My guess is it's a little bit of both. There does seem to be some separation. So if you go back to that original picture, you'll see some dead cells around where the stem attaches. But, yeah, that's what I would say.